Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Picka from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well. We have a packed show coming up tonight. Lots of information. Lots of stuff
yes.
going on.
It is Thursday, October 12th, 2023, Season 5, Episode 42, and the topic tonight, Oh, Where Have Our Freedom of Speech Gone? So the First Amendment is extremely important in America. What does free speech mean to you? Would you change anything of the amendments? And if so, which ones? Is hate speech really free speech? Should there be serious consequences for hate speech? Free speech is the main focus tonight on the broadcast, and we thank everyone for sharing across all social media. We're grateful for the feedback. We're on Facebook, and we're also at kitchenpolitics123.com. That's our official website where we have blog articles and merchandise, which is soon to be on sale. And, you know, you could call us 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Please don't speak over the host nor any other caller that may be on air. Remember to turn off all background noises and as it throws off listeners and us as hosts. So glad you're a part of something special tonight. Big topic. So this is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So now we start out, we said something about Israel, but first Steve Scalise, he was one of the Republicans who were up for the new Speaker of the House and everything, and he withdrew his name for the Speaker's race. As you know, or you probably don't know, he has terminal cancer. So, you know, the race for Speaker Thursday evening, Scalise was narrowly selected Wednesday as a Republican nominee, but failed to win a block of critics who stood between him and a gavel. And, you know, some saying, oh, you know, he's a rhino. You know, isn't he not right-wing enough? I mean, David Duke is his good buddy. And we all know David Duke is from the Ku Klux Klan. And, you know, I can quote Steve Scalise saying that, oh, he's just David Duke, but without the excess baggage. So, you know, is one scumbag for another. As you know, Jim Jordan, the congressman from the great state of Ohio, he's part of the Oversight Committee, and he's the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. And he's also a scumbag because when he was assistant coach at OSU, the Ohio State University, the wrestling coach, he covered up for the coach who sexually molested little boys or young men, I should say, in college and raped some of them. You know, so the Republicans is just running a shit show, basically. And while the world burns and while America tries to recover from COVID and trying to, like, boost the economy and strengthen, you know, things that, you know, to help the American people. These jokers in Congress, Republicans, are, you know, just, you know, pussyfooting around and not doing the people's work. So we're going to hear from Steve Scalise where why he withdrew his name for the from the race. Is that like a one-minute clip? Here it is.
I share with my colleagues that I withdraw my name as a candidate for Speaker Designee. If you look at over the last few weeks, if you look at where our conference is, there's still work to be done. Our conference still has to come together and is not there. I've been tested in ways that really put perspective on life, really the 2017 shooting. When I didn't know if I was going to make it out alive, taught me what's important in life, and that's my family, my faith, and I'm blessed beyond belief. I have absolutely all the right perspective, and I still have a deep passion for making sure we get our country back on track and get our conference fixed again. So we need to get a speaker. And I'm going to continue to push as hard as we can to make that happen as quickly, because it has to happen. But it wasn't going to happen today, it wasn't going to happen tomorrow. It needs to happen soon.
Yeah, so there you have it. He's withdrawn his race, his nomination. So do you think that Matt Gaetz is interested in being Speaker of the House? Because, you know, given the Madison Cawthorn treatment, the basic kind of shitting on Matt Gaetz now, Mr. Raping Mac Forehead. What's your thoughts, Lori?
Jim Jordan still wants the seat. He got a couple, you know, I think when they had their secret, their private meetings yesterday, the first one, I think it became very clear to him that the majority of Republicans there do not want him as Speaker of the House. He's too brass. He's too loud. He's rude. And I think he's disliked, is my opinion, but that's only my opinion. And as far as Scalise goes, he's not much better. 19 Republicans voted against him as well. So I guess what the real question is in my mind is, what's their next step? because, as we know, our country's business cannot be, you know, can't go forward. We cannot, you know, give money to Ukraine. You know, whatever we have, you know, allocated that's there is all we can give them. We can't, you know, give them more. And as far as now with Israel, it's the same story with Israel. And then there's the country of our, the business of our country as well can't go forward. You know, bills can't be through, and, you know, it's just a shit. And the only thing that's good about all of this is that I hope that the, anyone that's paying attention, and if you are a Republican, I hope that you can now see how dysfunctional they are, how divided they are. They can't even get along amongst themselves, and they want to run a country, you know, help run a country, I should say. So to hell with them. I would like, in my opinion, I want Hakeem Jeffries to be speaker. I know that would take a miracle, but look, something's got to be done. Why? Maybe the Democrats can introduce that and, you know, sweet talk some of the more moderate Republicans that are there. I don't know how it can be done, but all I'm saying is this, and who would be, I don't even have in my head who could be speaker. Who could be speaker of? There's no one that comes forward. Yeah, maybe he would be okay. He's better than Jordan. He's better than Scalise. At least he's not a white nationalist. And at least, you know, he at least like Jordan, he doesn't, you know, help his students, you know, once they come crying to him that, you know, sexual things have happened to them. And he just doesn't do a damn thing about it. So there has to be somebody else. But in my eyes, it's only Hakeem. He's our savior. That's what I want.
Yeah, the thing is, the way it's so polarizing in the United States now politically, there's no way, you know, and where's a moderate Republican? You know, there's far and few between, if any, of the moderate Republicans.
I don't know.
You know, the moderate Republicans. Yeah, moderate Republicans. I don't think moderate Republicans exist anymore. The only moderate is there is that woman from Maine, the U.S. Senator, but she's not a part of the House, so she'll have no vote. Susan Collins, who's weak and who is, I don't know how to describe this woman, you know.
Yeah.
But as far as the moderates go in the Republican House, I can't even think of one, you know, if there is any. But as far as Hakeem Jeffries goes, I don't think any Republican would come on the side of Democrats and vote for him for Speaker. They'd rather change the rules and make Donald Trump run for Speaker of the House, even though the Republicans put into law saying that if you're federally charged and you're under indictment, you can't be Speaker of the House. As is, the rules said that anybody could run for Speaker of the House. So if John Public wants to run, then, you know, he can run. If Donald Trump, you know, decides to run, even though he's on a federal indictment, all Republicans have to do is change rules stating what I just stated, where, you know, if you're on a federal indictment, you can't run for Speaker of the House. You know, that's the only thing I say, basically. And the Republicans' plan, remember, the one to impeach Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, on what grounds? On bullshit. None. Zero. They have no credibility. They have no dignity, no self-respect. It was just political gamemanship and spitefulness, basically, because Trump got impeached twice. He's on a 91 federal count of indictment for breaking the law and, like, basically pissing and shitting on the Constitution. You know, so, you know, if they do change that law and Trump becomes Speaker of the House, they'll be surprised if they go hardcore to impeach Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, because why? Third or second in line would be the Speaker of the House. And they're so desperate. They're so clingy to Donald Trump. You know, I don't know what Trump has over them. Is it that he has secrets for them? You know? I mean, they're so pathetic and just a waste of space. They're losers. And America, I hope you're paying attention of how these people operate. George Santos gets slapped with many more charges because he stole people's, you know, the credit cards and debit cards and, you know, act like, you know, it was them, you know. Mm-hmm. And if a normal person did that, a regular person did that, they would be in jail or even trial. But no, he's a congressman. Yeah. And these Republicans love talking about family values and, you know, like sticking up for the small man, and they're pro-military and pro-police. And it's just all talk, gibberish, garbage to prove time and time again that they don't care about none of those things, you know. And the family values thing is the biggest thing, because Kristen Noem, the South Dakota governor, beautiful woman, but she's ugly on the inside. And she, like Lauren Boebert, loves speaking about, oh, family values, this and that. But allegedly, I have to say allegedly, Corey Lewandowski and her had a relationship, you know. So how does that look, you know, to South Dakotans who voted for her to be governor? Mm-hmm. You know, that's a slap in the face. But once you have an R behind your name in states like that, red states like that, it's like that's like, you know, walk off a duck's back and don't even pay attention. Imagine for a Democrat who did that, you know, would hear for it about it for the rest of our lives. So the hypocrisy is this kind of thing. And, you know, they can't govern. They're unable to govern. It's so embarrassing as a country where, you know, it's been days now where, you know, 27 Americans have died in Israel. And we need a Speaker of the House to, do certain things, like appoint committee members to various committees, the committee chairman, what have you. And because the Republicans can't get the shit together, it's like everything going to hell, you know? So why vote Republican, people? It's not worth it. They can't govern. They can't even talk among themselves and make a decision. So, get it together, Republicans. A lot of people depend on you. America depends on you. Yeah, go ahead.
It isn't that they can't talk amongst themselves. It's that they're infighting. They're infighting.
Mm-hmm.
They're not agreeing. They're not. It seems like they're all, they're in their corners, and whatever they have promised whomever, they're not gonna. They're not gonna change their minds. And I don't know if they understand. We're in a critical point right now. It is very dire that we need for our government to work at all levels, in order to keep our country going, in order to keep our country safe, and in order to help the countries that need us, along with the American people. And I am hoping that people are paying attention, and they are seeing that the Republican Party needs to be cleaned out, gutted out, voted out, and start all over if you still want to have a Republican Party. If not, get rid of them all. They're of no use. They haven't been of any use since the Reagan days, since maybe before that. But for me, it's been since the Reagan days. So, like I said, I hope that people are paying attention. I hope that Israel is on people's minds. And I'm hoping that they're seeing the dysfunction and the stupidity that these Republicans have, and no spine. They don't just get them out of there, you know. Put somebody in there from the Democratic side, from the Democrat side. Put Hakeem Jeffries in there, for God's sakes. Do something for the country. We know that he would do right for the country. We know it. There is no doubt, but
that's not going to happen. But, you know, at least it's been reported that 1,200 people have died and 2,900 others have been seriously injured in Israel after the militant group Hamas launched an unprecedented incursion from air, land, and sea this past Saturday. So Hamas fired thousands of rockets towards Israel, and an estimated 1,000 fighters crossed into the country from the neighboring Gaza Strip. And Israel officials said that at least 100 civilians and soldiers have been taken hostage. And what they're doing to these hostages, not only soldiers, but civilians. Imagine you as a 20-something-year-old enjoying yourself at this musical festival, and then Hamas attack and kidnap you. And, you know, every time Israel bombs Gaza Strip, you know, they have live videos of people getting beheaded, you know, or shot. You know, the whole inhumanity of all, you know. And the Israel Defense Force, the IDF, has since declared a state of alert for war against Hamas and Hezbollah, you know, poking in now, trying to get involved in this war and everything. And, you know, the launch, Israel launched a retaliatory airstrike on Gaza, and where 2 million Palestinians have lived under the blockade imposed by neighboring Israel and Egypt since Hamas seized power in 2007. So the Palestinian authorities said that at least 1,500 people have died and another 6,612 has been injured in Gaza since Saturday. And like Israel, the Gaza Strip has no air raid sirens or bomb shelters. You know, so a big humanity crisis is going on because Israel cut off water supply, have cut off, you know, the light, you know, the blockade, not allowing anybody in or out because there's no food or medicine or, you know, doctors, you know, trying to go in there to help people. You know, it's just like, it's just like a preeminence of World War III. Because Donald Trump, when he was at Mar-a-Lago, go ahead.
No, go ahead. It's okay. Finish your speech. Finish.
When Trump had those documents in his bathroom, you know, it is said that a former Australian diplomat he was sharing secrets with, you know, and if that's the case, then, you know, why, again, is Donald Trump not in prison? You know, because everybody knows, you know, that, you know, I wouldn't say Australia. Well, okay, let me put it this way. Iran has been sponsoring Hamas and Hezbollah for years now, since the embargo in 1979. And, you know, so Russia and them are chums, are good buddies, and China. And so whatever Donald Trump had no secret documents, he probably, more than likely, told Putin and company in the Kremlin. And Jack Smith said he has proof of why he had those documents, those classified documents. So, you know, hopefully when the trial starts, we can get to the bottom of this, where Donald Trump allegedly told Putin, and Putin told Iran and China and whoever, you know. So it's like this whole thing coming down on America where Joe Biden is under so much pressure domestically and internationally with the war with Ukraine against, you know, that versus Russia, you know, and Donald Trump praising these dictators, you know, from North Korea, from China, Russia. It is just disgusting. This man is not presidential material. He should never have been president in the first place. And he's just a colossal failure and a fuck up who should be in prison, just like Jared Kushner, who had $2 billion given to him by Saudi Arabia. Now, come on. Yep. Instead of investigating Hunter Biden's laptop, which is nothing there, if they had something, they'd said something already, why not, you know, investigate, you know, his laptop, as in Jared Kushner? Why did he get $2 billion for it? It's disgusting. Disgraceful. But anyway, you know, we're going to take calls now, but I think you have a point to make, Laurie. 515-605-9802. Go ahead.
You know, you were talking a little, you were talking about Israel and the Gaza Strip. The Gaza Strip is basically 140, it's 140 square mile territory, and approximately 2 million people live there. We know that Hamas is, you know, in probably in the Gaza Strip. And more than likely, that's where, you know, the people that have been kidnapped and tortured, and that's where they are, have them. But what kind of bothers me, because and I'm not saying that Israel did anything wrong, because they were the ones that were attacked. They were taken by surprise. You know, their country is in dire straits as well. But aren't there some innocent people in Pakistan, in the Gaza Strip, that are just stuck there and are basically now just human targets left there to die because their homes are destroyed. They have no food now, no water, no electricity. You know, they have no way to get anywhere. My heart goes out to them for as well, because, you know, they live there, and it's not their really. Is it their fault that it happened? I don't think so. So, I just wanted to say, it's just a sad situation. It's just a sad is not even expressive enough. It's horrific. It's beyond my understanding. You see all the atrocities that are happening, and, you know, they've killed babies and children and thrown them in cars, and, you know, and then we have, you know, the Gaza Strip with, you know, all these people that live there that they're stuck. I don't know what the answer is. What do you think?
Well, the thing is, this is such a complicated topic and everything. The Palestinian Liberation Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I kept it light. I just want to know how you feel about the humanitarian part of it, because I know there's probably a lot deeper there is a lot deeper we could go into, but just the humanitarian part of these people that are just trying to live in the Gaza Strip. That's all.
Yeah. Well, the Palestinian Authority, ran elections, and Hamas, they voted for Hamas. So Hamas has power. And the Palestinian Authority, which was once led by Yasser Arafat, basically has no power in Palestine. You know, and we all know that Hamas is extreme, just like Hezbollah. You know, and the Palestinian Authority was genuinely trying to have a peace with Israel. You know, and some people are talking about, let's have a two-state solution. You know, but war equal big money. You know, and people on both sides, you know, in the background, the moneyed people, the well-heeled people, it's not in their best interest to have a two-state solution, because, you know, war not going to happen. And then when war happens, then there's a lot of money going on, you know. So I think that the United States, you know, when push comes to shove, because we have people there, our people are dying and we're trying to get them out and everything. When push comes to shove, we really should put boots on the ground and help Israel, you know, and try to bring a humanitarian effort towards it, ending this conflict. And the United Nations is a joke, you know, because they condemn Israel, yet still, you know, Palestinians, not really Palestinians, but Hamas, you know, like have a chokehold, a stranglehold on people, because people are desperate in that region for three generations now. You know, when the Israelis came from Germany and all over the world and formed after the partition in 1948, they became resentful, you know, and, you know, they're saying, oh, it's from biblical times, this is our land, and Palestinians saying, no, this is our land, how dare you come and try to overtake us, you know? So a good example is the Native Americans in the United States, where you know, people from Europe came and displaced them and put them in Oklahoma and far out places, you know, you know, dry, deserty, crappy places. And, you know, a perfect example is Oklahoma, where, you know, there was nothing there. But as soon as oil was discovered, they kicked those Native Americans out and put them in even a shittier place. you know, all over. And the Tears of Broken Trail, we all know about that. President Andrew Jackson murdered a lot of them. And those who didn't die, you know, from enslavement, died from starvation or disease. You know, so who are we in the United States to talk about, you know, Israel and Palestine and the humanity going on? But, you know, we're leaders of the free world, so we have to show example and try help all those who are concerned, really. You know, but like I said, it's a hard, difficult topic. And, you know, we'll take some calls on everything. 515-605-9802. Visit our website, kitchenpolitics123.com. And we'll have Elaine calling from Michigan. Hello, Elaine.
Oh, good evening. I am fit to be tied. I had it sent to me. And it was this woman giving out the news where Hamas wants a national day, which would be Friday the 13th, which is tomorrow, of terror across the world. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. She started out real good giving the facts. Then all of a sudden, this war with this terrorism from Hamas, she turned it around to make it a leftist issue.
Yep.
That Democrats don't care that the Jewish people are being slaughtered. They don't care that babies are having their heads cut off. And this punky girl, young woman, how do we stop these lies? She is to give the news, not crap. I am just shaking. I am just shaking. How the Democrats, her narrative was, how can any Jewish person ever vote for a Democrat when we are glad that people are being terrorized and they're being killed and et cetera, et cetera. And then she's taken the Black Lives Matter and she is making them sympathizers for Hamas. I'm just beyond myself today. I am just, I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but my hands are just shaking. How in the hell do we stop this kind of bullshit?
Well,
we've got enough problems going on. We've got people being killed. We've got people caught in the crosshairs, in the crossfire. They don't deserve to die. And we're going to blame liberals and leftists and Democrats? Jesus Christ, well, those Republicans that care too. What the hell is going on?
Okay, you're speaking about Liz Wheeler. You're talking about Liz Wheeler, right?
Yes.
Another kook. You know, you have to take another
grain of
salt.
Kook or not, I had this sent to me by a couple people.
Yeah, she is.
You take each person and you say they know 200 people. Now, if these two people went and sent this garbage out, it's making me shake because the beginning part was the truth about what's going on. And then she goes into her lies.
Yep. Well, she's, Elaine, listen, she is a conservative political commentator. That's a podcast that she has.
I guess the word conservative means a lying fucking bunch of people. I'm sorry, but I had to use that word, and I'm sorry that I had to use it on the air.
That's okay. But you're,
I am so just so, I don't know how to express how I feel right now.
I know.
I
feel the same way.
Lies have got to stop.
It's not going to stop, Elaine. They have the freedom of speech, and we don't have freedom of speech. We can't call. We can't say what we feel.
Oh yeah. What happened with the the lake lady? She's been blocking people talking, asking her questions. I understand the Gates is blocking people the minute you ask him a pointed question. So instead of answering the questions, blocks people.
Yep. Either that or they run and lock their door like George Santos did. He ran, and he went in his office and locked his door. Can run like that, too. This is what we're dealing with right now, Elaine. This is what we've been saying all along, is that these the Republicans aren't worth a shit. And then we have these so-called conservative, in quotes, commentators that are only there to view. It's almost like, you know, like when you throw meat, red meat at an animal and they just love that that red meat. It's kind of like that. That's kind of like what they enjoy doing. They
this
like
bitch was raw. This bitch was gnawing on the bones. This is more than red meat. She's already licked all the blood off the bones. She was gnawing on the bones.
Well, they throw the little pieces of the red meat out there so that it gets dispersed and, you know, everyone's outraged and, oh, look what the Democrats are doing. You know, everything is always the Democrats' fault.
We're fasting and we're loving what's going on?
Yeah. No. Are you kidding? Of course not.
This is somehow we got to stop these lies. This is enough. This is just enough. Now all of a sudden, the white supremacists have been warning the Jewish people?
Mm-hmm.
What's this bullshit? The white supremacists have been warning the Jewish people, the white supremacists all these years, 50-some years that I've been on this earth plus, have been against the Jews. Now all of a sudden they're warning the Jews?
Mm-hmm.
I can't take much more of this bullshit today.
I mean, you have to put this in context. You know, when they say that things come full circle, if we don't be careful and win the election in 2024, and I mean win the election, we have to take the House, we have to take the Senate, we have to take the White House as well.
Yes,
because
we
if we
do.
Don't, circle will close. And that circle is not a circle that any of us want to live in. Trust me when I say that. So that is why, you know, you have to understand also that these people are just out there to make money instead. Also, you know, this is what's hot right now. Throw out stuff like that. Talk about the Democrats, you know, and, you know, they make some extra money doing it or whatever they, you know, whatever makes them happy. And they feel good about themselves, I guess. I really don't know. But I guess what we have to do is try to say that whatever she said in the beginning, yes, I listened to it. In the beginning, yes, she said what she said was right. But then when she tries to say that it's the leftist's fault, are you kidding? What does that mean? What is a leftist anyway? Has anyone
At first I thought she was just going to say righties and lefties, but then she spelled it out, Democrats.
Yeah, exactly. So, and what does that mean anyway? You know, it's, like I said, we have to just continue trying to be positive, speak out, and our freedom of speech is just as important as their freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today, Trump in Florida, orange man in Florida, got behind a podium. He was all pissed off because the microphone wasn't loud enough. He was sweating. He was red. He looked like he was going to have, I was hoping he'd have a stroke right there. And then he started to say about, he was talking about Israel and how if he was president, he could fix Israel. And he was saying that, you know, the United, he's delusional and insane. He's the one they need to gag. He's the one that's fanning the flames for all these other little peons underneath. He gets
Marjorie Taylor Greene is doing a number two. She keeps saying that Iran is taking this money and is buying all of these weapons for Hamas.
No. So mm-hmm. we can bunk that as well, because
try to bunk it. I'm sorry, I shut up. I can't calm down.
Yeah, calm down, because we do have the plan, or not the plan, but we have what that, are you talking about the $6 billion?
Yeah.
Yeah, the $6 billion. Well, the $6 billion is, there was a plan behind it. We can go through, you know, what happened. First of all, it started out with Donald Trump. David, you see that article?
Yeah, I'm looking for it and everything.
It's how Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, how Donald Trump oil waiver gave Iran $6 billion.
Yep.
Yes, it's a Newsweek piece. And in the wake of the Hamas attack against Israel, some Republicans said that the Biden administration helped play a role in the violence by unfreezing $6 billion of Iranian oil money in exchange for the release of 5 American hostages, which is a lie. Here's why. The accusation, which has been dismissed by Secretary of State Tony Blinken and the White House National Security Council, said that the Biden administration decision to free up $6 billion in frozen money so it can be removed from countries such as South Korea, allow Iran and a supporter of the Islamic militant group Hamas to help orchestrate the attack. So the frozen $6 billion had originated in a decision made by Donald Trump during his time in the White House. And in 2018, Trump granted 88 countries, including South Korea, a waiver that allowed them to continue purchasing oil from Iran even after the U.S. imposed sanctions on Iran after Trump abandoned the Iran nuclear deal, as he took a much tougher line against Tehran than predecessor Barack Obama. So this tough line later included January 2020 assassination of Qassem Soleimani, the head of the Iran Quad Force. Trump then threatened to strike 52 Iranian sites if United States assets were targeted. And in 2018, the deal meant South Korea held $6 billion in Iranian funds, which were then frozen in 2019 after the Trump administration put further sanctions in Iran. So last month, the Biden administration confirmed that a deal had been struck to free 5 American hostages in Iran, and the deal saw 5 Iranian prisoners released in exchange, as well as $6 billion in frozen Iranian assets held by South Korea being freed and transferred to the account of Doha, Qatar, where Iran has not yet accessed it. You know, so again, Republicans drawing at straws. You know, they're talking out of their ass with no facts to back it up, you know. And Trump and several other Republicans suggested Iran uses $6 billion to fund a group designated a terrorist organization by the United States and European Union. So the former president even appeared to suggest that a $6 billion figure was, quote, taxpayer dollars. Again, Donald Trump lying through his ass, being given to Hamas by Iran, rather than proceed the proceeds of Iran's own oil sales. So it's not the $6 billion in frozen assets, but because of the selling of oil, you know? So on Saturday, soon after Hamas began its attack, the White House NSC said that the money in question hasn't been accessed by Iran, and even then can only be used for humanitarian purposes. So... you know, Adrienne Watson, she is the NSC spokeswoman. I quoting her now, quote, not a single cent from these funds has been spent, and when it is, can only be spent on things like food and medicine for the Iranian people, end quote. So these funds have absolutely nothing to do with the horrific attacks that happened Saturday, and this is not the time to spread disinformation. And Donald Trump and Fox News and Republicans in the House love spreading disinformation and false news. We had it in COVID. We had it in everything. They just lie. These people lie, from George Santos to Donald Trump and everybody in between. They lie. you know,
exactly.
And hopefully America picks up and stop, you know, watching Fox News and other right-wing media, because these people lie, you know, they have no shred of dignity, they have no, they're just lying sacks of shit, basically. So, you know, similar reassurance was also made by Secretary of State Blinken during an interview on ABC this week with George Stephanopoulos. And Secretary of State Blinken said, not a single dollar from the account has been actually spent to date. And in any event, it's very careful and closely regulated by the Treasury Department to make sure that it's only used for food and medicine and for medical equipment, end quote. You know, so again, you can't take Republicans what they say seriously, because they're liars. They're led by a liar. They have liars in their caucus, the Freedom Caucus, you know, regular members, you know, they're just liars. You cannot take them seriously. Yeah. These people are disgusting.
Yeah. They spew, you know, like I said, I just see red meat being flung out there, and, you know, they like, oh wow, red meat. Let's take it. You know, I don't know. It's just unbelievable where we are in this country, and not only our country, but around the world, because we can't forget about Ukraine. Ukraine is on the back burner now, you know. There is had before all of this for Ukraine, but, you know, they need to get their shit together so that we can, you know, go on with business in this country. Like I said before, it's sickening. And for those of us that pay attention, we're stressed out like Elaine. You know, we get stressed out because we feel like, why can't we fix this? You know, why can't I just fly to Washington and just wave my magic wand and tell them what to do? I can't do that. No one would listen. No one cares. Nobody cares, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, and you have Marjorie Taylor
Greene. And today, Lindsey
Graham.
Huh? And today, South Carolina U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham suggested today on Twitter that, you know, given the $6 billion to Iran, which, you know, Joe Biden and the United States didn't do, it will entice rogue regimes like Iran to take even more American hostages. So again, you know, Lindsey Graham don't have a shred of dignity or self-respect, because, he's basically kissing Trump's ass. And, you know, whatever Trump says, Lindsey Graham does. You know, Trump said, hey, Lindsey, jump. And Lindsey said, how high? You know, that's how beholden he and other Republicans are to Donald Trump. And a prison swap deal has brought back into the spotlight by several Republicans. They're taking swipes at Joe Biden. And, you know, Joe Biden overturned Trump policy to give Palestinians $235 million in aid. You know, and soon after the Hamas launched its attack against Israel, a number of right-wing figures suggested that funding approved by Biden administration may have played a role in deadly violence, which wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. It's not the case. It was never the case. You know, so Republican Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn, for example, suggested that in 2021, a decision to provide $235 million in aid to the Palestinians may have also helped funded Hamas, a group that is designated as a terrorist organization by the United States and the world. And Donald Trump, you know, he was speaking at the Club 47 USA event in West Palm Beach recently. I think yesterday it was. And, you know, this is what this asshole Donald Trump said. His comments were calling Hezbollah smart and criticizing Israel's defense minister as dangerous and unhinged. He's the one to talk, you know, about anybody being dangerous and unhinged. You know, quote, statements like this are dangerous and unhinged. It's completely lost on why any American would ever praise Iranian-backed terrorist organization as smart. That's according to Andrew Bates. He's a White House spokesperson. So Trump, who's seeking to run against Joe Biden in 2024, is commenting in his comments to supporters in Florida Wednesday night, last night, that Hezbollah is very smart. You know? and he's calling the defense minister of Israel a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Donald Trump is off his meds. He's crazy. Nobody should take this clown seriously. He's a danger to the United States and the world.
I take him very seriously for the simple reason Israel had one of the most sophisticated systems for anti-attacks. And Donald Trump had hundreds and thousands of our documents.
Mm-hmm.
And who was reading them? And who was he sharing them with?
Mm-hmm.
Russia, mostly. Russia, that's
saying,
who you're sharing them with. Mm-hmm.
How did they infiltrate the system over there in Israel? Donald Trump has got the answer. That's why he's sweating.
Well, that's
and
why
a couple days back, you know, a couple days back also, you have to remember that Egyptian foreign minister did say that spoke with Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, warning that this attack was imminent, but Netanyahu decided or chose to ignore it. So do we believe Egypt? Or do we believe Netanyahu, who is another liar, just like Trump?
Good question.
Like I said at the start of the show, war equals profit and money. And Netanyahu, the Supreme Court of Israel, is going after him for tax evasion, for a lot of things. And, you know, what better way to distract them, you know, than having a war? I mean, you know, this is how conservatives think. And Netanyahu is so far right-wing and corrupt, just like Trump and the Republicans today. And looking even in Italy, where Meloni is suing a journalist, you know, for speaking the truth. You know, how soon is that coming to America, really? Because you have it in Israel, you have it in Italy, you have it in Hungary, which is a fascist state, you have it in Belarus, you have it in Russia under Putin. I mean, my God. You know, and Donald Trump worship and praise these dictators. Come on, man. North Korea is the worst. China. Wake up, America. Wake up, Republicans. Stop voting for this loser.
I think that Donald Trump's dream is to be a dictator of the world. In his delusional mind, that is what he has in his head that he wants. That he can just command whomever he wants to do anything that he wants with no questions asked. I really truly believe that's how insane that man is. You know, and the other thing is that I sent you that article, David. It's right on the bottom. It's Donald Trump's Israel intel leak under scrutiny after the Hamas attack. We can't forget about this as well, because there's different reasons for everything, so as to why he's talking the way he's talking. That's the way I feel. And he always tells so. So Donald Trump's sharing of alleged classified intelligence to Russian officials in the White House has come under scrutiny amid a large-scale attack by Hamas. Islamist military group against Israel. In May 2017, the former president defended his actions after he found to have discussed sensitive details about alleged Islamic State, which is ISIS, plot with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and Ambassador Sergei Kislyak in the Oval Office. Trump said he had an absolute right to do so. The intel was to have been provided to the U.S. from Israel. It suggested at the time that the former president's handling of oversensitive information from Israel could have damaged the relationship between the two countries. It also could have raised the possibility that the details could be passed from Russia to Iran, the Gulf nation that is fierce, which is a fierce adversary of Israel and has long supported Hamas. So, you know, think about that for a minute as well. So, you know, things maybe these countries have been, you know, coming, you know, making a plan of how to do this. And because it's like it came out of the blue, according to what we know, you know, and what David said, I don't know if that's true or not true. We don't know. We don't know if he really knew, you know, about it, or if he was warned about it, or if he wasn't. It's hard to say. But doesn't it make sense that all of a sudden, you know, I mean, he shared this stuff with Russia, and, interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yep.
And it also goes on to say, on social media, a number of people believe that Trump's handing over of Israeli information may have resulted in Iran assisting the Palestinian group. So, you know, I know it's all speculation, but for some reason, I feel like he's involved in this as well. I just do. From the moment it happened. From the moment it happened.
You know, Tom Hartman, I don't know if anybody listens to Tom Hartman. He's an author and political commentator at the Tom Hartman program. And he posted on Twitter recently while sharing a 2017 article on the Washington Post. This is what Tom Hartman thinks, and he said, Hamas apparently knew how to get around Israel's Iron Dome defenses. They probably learned this from Iran. So Iran almost certainly got the information from Russia. And who gave it to Russia? Sure looks like it was Donald Trump at a request of Putin. So again, Putin has Trump by the balls. Well, no, he has no balls. Have him by his wherever. Sure. You know, he has no testicles. And you know, Trump has been in collusion with Russia since the 1970s, right through the 80s, mob money, you know, financing his different ventures, his failed business ventures. How can you be, how can you bankrupt a casino? How can you be bankrupt after giving $400 million, inheriting it? And now the media in the United States is at fault. Why? Because they push this narrative that Donald Trump was this, oh, he works his way and pulled himself by the bootstraps up. You know? This nonsense. This garbage. You know? What the hell? And you think they learned from then in 2015 when he came down those escalators announcing for president what a fraud he was. He was just a producer for this trashy, ridiculous NBC show called The Apprentice. And it gave him all the free time in the world. And when he speaks at these Nazi-type rallies, it's pure gibberish and nonsense that make no sense. Oh, you know, the windmills killing whales are giving people cancer. What the fuck? Are you still giving them your time? No. What's wrong with you, Fox News? What's wrong with you, ABC, CBS, whoever else? Do not give this man airtime. We're here talking about this son of a bitch on this air because he is garbage. His family is garbage. His wives are fucking garbage. Donald Trump Jr. is so retarded and stupid. You know,
no,
he's God,
all messed up. He is so strung out on dope. Every time you see a picture of him, his eyes are just rolling in the back of his head.
Oh, yeah.
He's a stoner.
I think so.
Yeah. It's disgraceful. What America, how can we move from Lincoln to Ike to great Republican presidents? You know?
Yeah.
To this asshole Donald Trump, who can't put two sentences together or make sense. It's disgraceful. But anyway, let me play this clip here, the day of jihad, you know, and imagine if it come to American shores where the sleeper cells in America, all over America come and, you know, just like, you know, pull some stunt like the shooting people randomly or so. This is Elizabeth Vargas, and you can make a point afterwards, Lori. This is a quick 4-minute clip, and here it is.
to me now with more on this potential threat is Michael Balbany, former New York State Homeland Security Advisor and the current Director of Redland Securities. What do you make of this call for this global day of jihad? Is this something, it's not the first time we've had one of these, but given what's going on today, should we take this seriously?
So you're right that we've had this before, and yet, but there are, this is a different set of circumstances. And this is an incredibly emotional time. And so what you're going to see is that people are very, very skittish about this, and they're nervous. And so what you have to do is you have to produce calm. New York City has been the place of protests for decades. And New York City Police Department is probably one of the most experienced police forces in the world, separating groups with different types of opinions, making sure that you don't have this type of on-the-street violence. But then moreover, you know, there's infrastructure protection strategies that are in place right now.
Yeah,
and
but
as you mentioned,
it's not just New York City. It's cities across all over the world that he's calling to have these protests at a time when we're seeing great emotion on both sides around this whole thing.
Right. So I guess the thing that people are most concerned about is the call for bloodshed.
Right.
It's not calling for peaceful protests. But yet if you study in the past types of terrorist attacks, what you realize is that it just doesn't happen overnight. And typically somebody from around the world calling for this type of action doesn't usually resonate and doesn't result in a concerted attack anywhere in the world itself. That takes planning, that takes preparation, and you don't really have that. However, having said that, there's no way that any police force around the world is going to step back and say, well, we're not going to pay attention.
Right.
So they are telling folks, be aware and take certain steps, know who's coming to your building, and do other things to make sure that you can limit the ability of people to perpetrate an attack.
Yeah, you can understand why people might be unnerved. My son called me from college because he saw it on social media, and he was like, is something going to happen on Friday? You know, because this is just on the heels. It's 6 days after this appalling, unbelievable attack committed by Hamas in Israel.
Yeah, so intelligence experts are talking about that this is just another part of the campaign. You know, it's not just enough to create this horrific situation. You have to expand on it. You have to use social media. You have to get out there and have to put fear in people's home to spread their message of hate. And so one of the things that schools, particularly in New York, and I think around the country as well, they're reminding parents that letting children watch these types of videos is a really bad idea. That without context, you're going to feed into their deepest fears, whether they're Christian or Jew or Muslim. You know, you have to make sure that people understand that these violent images can have an impact, especially on younger individuals.
And when in years past or in months past, I don't know when the last time was that the leader of Hamas called for a day of jihad, have these been non-events?
Yeah, they have non-events. I recall that there was a specific call to attack the Mall of America, and this was several years ago. And when we talked about that, we said, well, there is no actionable intelligence. But nonetheless, people are going to pay attention, and they're going to know who's coming to the mall, and they're going to try to make sure that they have the ability, the incredible show of force, and then use the assets that they have, undercover police officers, informants, and, of course, what you have in major cities, especially New York City, is use surveillance, which has been dramatically increased over the years.
Are you surprised the NYPD is asking all officers to report to duty in uniform? We're talking, you know, detectives who normally are in plain clothes, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they want people to, you know, when you see an officer on the street, you'll know it's an officer on the street because he's wearing a badge and a uniform.
Yeah. So New York City is a home to the largest Jewish population in the United States. And then this is as much as a way to assure that population as it is to provide a show of force to deter anybody from doing it.
Okay. All right. Michael Balbany, thanks so much. Thanks so much for watching. Go to Joy.
Yes, Laura, we're back. You're making a point?
No, it's okay. I'm good.
Oh, okay.
I'm good.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
That's okay. I'm going to add on to this, but go ahead.
Yeah, there was a pro-Israel, pro-Palestine rally and a collided in Times Square today. PIX News, Channel 11 in New York has the report. And it was held in Times Square on Sunday, I should say, after Hamas attacked Israel and there's an ongoing conflict in the Middle East. So all I got to say is I'm sorry for the civilians on both sides because, like you say, you know, some people are innocent and all this and don't give a goddamn about politics or Middle East, you know, war and what have you. So, you know, a humanitarian effort has to be made when this conflict comes to a reasonable solution. And here's a report from Times Square, PIX Channel 11 News, New York.
Reaction to the war in Israel reaching the streets of New York with dueling protests. Hundreds of demonstrators standing in solidarity with Palestine taking over the crossroads of the world. To organizers of this rally, the attack on Israel was justified resistance.
It's 75 years of an Israeli regime that is founded on violence.
This comes just a day after an air, land, and sea attack on Israel by Hamas militants, where hundreds of Israelis were killed. Women and children were also taken from their homes. This man tells 611 News, while he is standing with Palestine, he does not condone killing innocent people.
I think any resistance is legitimate when it targets military targets. I don't think the civilians should ever be in a position to feel threatened, be they on the Israeli side or the Palestinian side.
At times, counter-protesters standing across the street were chanting and yelling, waving the Israeli flag, and singing their national anthem. For them, this was a terrorist attack.
They massacred us yesterday, kids in their beds, women, old women. They massacred us, 600 people, Israelis dead, massacred in their own beds. What are you protesting for, you barbarians?
And at times, just talking to us, got emotional. This woman says she should be in synagogue for the Jewish holiday.
Since yesterday, I have not been able to.
She says her daughter, niece, and other family and friends are in Israel.
They're okay, but nobody's really okay. We know, I know of three families whose sons were kidnapped. One of them was murdered.
Police created barricades and extra protection is needed, with the crowds on both sides growing larger. At one point, those standing with Palestine started moving towards the east side.
Two wrongs don't make a right. Israel bombed them first, so that was wrong for them. I feel like the Hamas shouldn't have retaliated.
Susie from Michigan, hello.
Hi.
Hi, Susie.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Oh,
aggravated.
Yeah.
I know. You know, I sent you both this article, but, you know, we were talking about Trump and the megas and everything. Robert De Niro summed it up perfectly. He sent out a warning. He said, I spent a lot of time studying bad men. I've examined their characteristics, their mannerisms, the utter banality of their cruelty, but there's something different about Donald Trump. When I look at him, I don't see a bad man, truly. I see an evil man. Over the years, I met gangsters here and there. This guy tries to be one, but he can't quite pull it off. There's such a thing as honor among thieves. Yes, even criminals usually have a sense of right and wrong. Whether they do the right thing or not is a different story, but they have a moral code, however warped. Donald Trump does not. He's a wannabe tough guy with no morals or ethics, no sense of right or wrong, no regard for anyone but himself, and not the people he's supposed to lead and protect, not the people he does business with, not the people who follow him blindly. And that's my stupid phone in my basement cut me off of the rest. But he's sending out a warning. He said New York knows this guy. They hate this guy. And he wants to warn the rest of the country and the world. And he's got it down. Mm-hmm. He said right.
But you know what? Even gangsters have morals. Donald Trump has no morals. He'll throw his own goddamn kids under the bus if they serve his rear. You know, this is all evil, the son of a bitch is. You know?
He's a pedophile.
And, you know,
he's a pedophile. He should go to prison. They'll take care of a pedophile there.
He's a rapist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he constantly abuses women, and he thinks that's okay. I mean, how did he get elected when they had that tape of him saying he can grab women by the whatchacallits, you know? And that's okay because he's rich and famous.
Well, first of all, he didn't get elected. That's what bothers me. He never got elected. It's that goddamn Electoral College that put him in office.
True.
It's stupid. Everybody
and Russian interference. And Russian interference.
Oh,
there's
oh,
proof
for sure.
That there was Russian interference.
That's for sure.
Well, of course, you know, Republicans are going to say, oh, it's a Democrat hoax, you know. Where's the evidence? Well, hell, the evidence is there. You know, when you read the Mueller report, Mueller should have, you know, recommended that he be charged, you know, with treason and what have you. But, you know, Robert Mueller is a good old Republican. You know, he towed the party line and everything. You're going to take justice.
Well, first election wasn't fixed because Donald Trump
won. Son of a bitch. Yeah, so, you know, I'm going to play this clip by De Niro when he slammed Donald Trump a couple of years back. It was the biggest and the best takedown ever heard of Donald Trump by anybody. And, you know, it resonates today because it's true. Donald Trump is a disgusting human being. And, you know, trust me, he's going to get what's coming to him. Promise
I don't
you.
Consider
so here's Robert De Niro describing Donald Trump. Here it is. Okay, what the hell is happening?
I mean, he's so blatantly
you're not in the basement,
stupid.
Are you?
He's a punk. He's a dog. He's a pig. He's a con, a bullshit artist, a mutt who doesn't know what he's talking about, doesn't do his homework, doesn't care, thinks he's gaming society, doesn't pay his taxes. He's an idiot. Colin Powell said it best. He's a national disaster. He's an embarrassment to this country. It makes me so angry that this country has gotten to this point, that this fool, this bozo, has wound up where he has. He talks how he wants to punch people in the face. Well, I'd like to punch him in the face. This is somebody that we want for president? I don't think so. What I care about is the direction of this country. And what I'm very, very worried about is that it might go in the wrong direction with someone like Donald Trump. If you care about your future, vote for it.
Yep, yep. Yeah, punk ass Trump. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Trump will win a Republican nomination? And if so, would he be wearing an ankle bracelet because Jack Smith is going to get to him at that point? Letitia James getting to him now. And Fauna Willis is up next. When will this asshole go to prison? When? Seriously.
I don't know. He travels around. He goes anywhere he wants, gets on his jet, travels wherever he wants to go. He's just free reign. He's got free reign.
And his mouth never stops. He threatens everybody, the judges, the lawyers, the prosecutors. He puts down everybody, and he can't keep his mouth shut. I wish they would put him in just to keep his mouth shut until they get the trial. And he keeps, his lawyers keep on making the trial, push him back, and have all these stupid things that they say, oh, you can't do this, and we need more time. And, you know, he wants to go back and get reelected so he can get rid of the prosecuting attorneys and kill his trials against himself. That's what he wants to do. That's his goal right now. But they all got to win because they got to take his business away.
Okay, go ahead.
We have another caller, Matt Gaetz, calling from Washington, D.C. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. I wish. God, I want to rip that movie asshole. He's so goddamn stupid.
I wouldn't even answer that one.
Yeah. Okay, enough of Trump. I'm tired of him. I'm sick of his ass. What do you think about Representative Nancy Mace? She is the congresswoman from South Carolina District 2, the very gerrymandered South Carolina District 2. that congressional seat was made specifically for her and to cut out all the black people within the constituency. And, you know, here in this next clip, she's describing why she voted to oust Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House and everything. Oh, and if you don't know who Nancy Mace is, she is the moron who wore the Scarlet Letter shirt, trying to play this martyr, like, oh, you know, I voted for this, or I voted for that, and, you know, is it wrong of me to do that? Nah, yes, it was. Yes, it was. You know, not about the McCarthy thing, but other votes that she did. And, you know, she's one of the Republicans who speak on one side of their mouth, and when it's time to vote and put up and shut up, she vote with the party line. So this is the idiot, Nancy Mace, from South Carolina District 2, on her decision to oust Kevin McCarthy.
We have a budget. We have 12 separate spending bills. That didn't happen. We started that process at the very last minute. That's why we're in this situation today. And I will tell you, as a woman, I have been fighting for women's rights since before I ever came to Congress.
No, that's a lie right there. She voted for women's rights and fighting. She voted for being against abortion. What is this?
Yeah.
The story. Oh, my God, what a liar. Let me continue this video.
And when Roe v. Wade was overturned, I continued that fight. And I've made deals with Kevin McCarthy and the Speaker that he has not kept to help women in this country. And we have done nothing for them. And I come from South Carolina. When you shake my hand and you make a promise and you don't keep it, there are consequences to those actions. And as a woman who has been fighting my party on this issue to be made promises that we're going to work to get women greater access to birth control.
Liar!
Don't do it. And now
we're liar.
We don't have to need to do it. Or as a survivor of rape, and I worked all year on a rape kit bill that hasn't seen the time of day, I cannot tell you how frustrating that is as a woman in this conference, in this capital, to have that happen. Like, if you make a promise, you should keep it. And if you promise women you're going to help them, then you damn well better do it. So as a fiscal conservative, I'm angry. As a woman, I am deeply frustrated. And I just, you know, that is the consequence of that behavior. And I want the American people to trust the Speaker. When the Speaker makes a promise to either side of the aisle, they ought to keep it. So for me, it's not left versus right, because the Speaker told Democrats one thing and Republicans another. We're not going to agree on everything all the time. We're going to have fights. We're going to have disagreements. But we're all adults here, and we can have that debate. Some sides will win, some sides will lose. But that debate is worthwhile. It's not worth misleading people. It's not worth misleading people on both sides of the aisle. For me, it's not ideological. It's about having a leader in our nation tell the truth who you can trust. And that's what the American people deserve.
How do you know a new speaker will be any better?
How did you weigh that against the other men?
Okay, enough of this bitch. She's a lying sack of shit. Like the whole rest of them. You know, she talk on one side of the mouth and vote for another thing. Jesus Christ. Yeah. These Republicans has no integrity. None of them. You know?
Nope.
Only Liz Cheney and Hissinger from Illinois have any integrity. We see what Republicans did to them. You know?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
The ones that had any integrity, you know, and look what they did to her is right. So it's really sad.
And all the people on the talk shows that used to be Republicans can't believe what they're seeing in the party. There's no party. There's no Republican party. It's a MAGA party. Let's face it.
Yes.
They're not. They're useless.
The mother fascist party.
They can't get their act together. They're I don't know why they see that asshole that is their god. He's just going to kick them in the teeth anyways, like he does everybody else.
Yeah.
I can't understand this.
Nobody.
I mean, he's open about criticize. Oh, I don't want to be around soldiers that don't have legs or arms, you know, and go to a cemetery for buried heroes and said they're losers or suckers. How can he even be been in office and do that and then get reelected? You got to be kidding me.
How can a veteran vote for him?
Exactly.
How can a veteran vote for him? That bothers me something fierce.
Yeah.
How can they stand up, put their hand over their heart or salute and vote for him?
Yeah. Well, I don't know either. I don't have an answer to that because I've thought about that many times.
Well, we got a mental health problem in this country, don't we?
Oh, a big one.
The Democrats have to do the commercials and run those tapes where he's putting down the veterans and criticizing people. And his niece said, other people behind the scenes said he puts down the megas that are backing him, the people that are backing him. He makes fun of them.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they would catch that on tape and broadcast it.
The thing is, Democrats will do that. You know why? You know why Democrats will do that? It's not gentlemanly. It's stooping to their level. You know, as Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high. Time to cut.
Mrs.
Obama.
Sorry, Michelle, but enough is enough.
Mm-mm.
And
yeah,
I don't think
she
did that.
She didn't know it was going this low. She didn't know it was going to be this low.
It wasn't
You see, when you're in a fight like this, this is politics. One of them send your people to the hospital, you hit back by sending them to the morgue. Metaphorically speaking, I'm not talking about political violence, but, you know, metaphorically speaking, we'll have to, drive them down in the dirt, in the curb, stomp their ass next election, you know? And there's talk that some Republicans want to work with Democrats to move on, and, you know, Republicans did warn a Democrat, Jeffries from New York, he's a minority leader, could win speakership with your voting method and everything. You know, it's highly unlikely that Republicans will come across the aisle and vote for a good person like Hakeem Jeffries.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen stranger things, you know. And
the Republicans are backed by a lot of money. Big corporation wants to drive the little guy down further and further and further, and they make the big bucks, and they have all the power, and fuck the people, excuse my French. But Federalists, look what the Federalists did with the judges and the Supreme Court. And, you know, they're bribing all of them. They have, you know, give them money and give them vacations and all that. I mean, that is quite a group of lawyers, but they're backed by big money, and they want to change the laws and everything else. Look at with the abortion law. That was the Federalists that pushed the Supreme Court.
You know, they have spent years upon years, you know, campaigning against Democrats, right?
Right.
You know, to get power, to get control. And like David said, some of them are starting to think, you know, and well, they're starting to confess, you know, that they need Democrats to fix the problem that is in the fringe party. Now, if that happens by some miracle, see that, let's say Hakeem Jeffries or a Democrat Hakeem Jeffries becomes Speaker of the House because they can't get their act together. Do you think that they will continue on the path to work for, you know, work for the people of America and, you know, get back to work with the bills and appropriations and the money? Or do you think they will put Hakeem Jeffries in there and make his job so hard that he fails, or they try to make him fail? Because, see, I have a flip way of thinking about things, you know, because I think that they're also diabolical in their thinking as well, the Republicans.
You're right. You're right. They're going to use it and turn it against the Democrats,
for years now.
And the Democrats didn't know it until they were right in the middle of it.
Do you understand my point, David, of what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
They'll put Joaquin in there, and they will try to destroy him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They will.
You know,
So it's Khalees withdrawing his name.
Pardon?
With Khalees withdrawing his name for consideration for the next speaker, that just leaves Jim Jordan. And we all know how intelligent and educated Jim Jordan is. Sarcasm.
Well, they don't want him.
Okay.
You know.
So who do they put up? That's the thing.
Huh? I'm sorry.
Who do you think they're going to put up? Who do you think they'll put
up? No, they don't have anybody. That's why I was thinking that maybe they'll put together the scheme, you know, to walk across the aisle, tell the Democrats, okay, come on, let's work together. You know, let's get a Democrat as Speaker of the House, and then it's back to the way they were before and make him look like a failure. I could see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
That scenario, I don't think is that far-fetched.
No,
so I'm
not
sure how this is going to go. I don't know. That's just my thought.
Let them put, I don't care if they put Marjorie Taylor Greene in there. Let them destroy their own.
Oh, God. No.
I
have
the point. I don't care.
Oh, don't put
let them put
in the
whatever dog they want up there.
Oh, no, God, no.
Why not?
Oh, God, no.
All she'll do is run her mouth and look stupid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're doing that now, Elaine. They're doing that now. You know, it's the curtain has been open. You know, they're out in the open now. They can go in their back rooms and talk all they want. They have nothing. They have nothing. They've been arguing and fighting for weeks. You know, they got rid of a Speaker of the House, which, you know, whatever. I never liked him to begin with, but what, you know, he was somebody. They got rid of him. And now they can't decide on anything. They put up two people that are not qualified. You know, they're just as evil. And then they think, oh, you know, what are we going to do now? Now they see that they're screwed.
They haven't done a damn thing since Obama was in office.
Pardon?
They voted against everything.
Of course.
You know? They're useless, and they're getting more useless and more weak, you know. They can't get their act together. Everybody calls it a clown show. The whole world is watching. They ask people.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a clip that they interviewed. What do you think of the United States? I said, we hate Trump. France, Italy, Germany, everybody thinks he's insane, and they're thinking the United States is going to shit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, check this out. I just throw a curveball to everybody that's listening and everybody online now. Do you think Liz Cheney is working behind the scenes and orchestrating some comeback? Because, you know, according to, you know, certain sources, that, you know, Liz Cheney has been talking to Republicans and... Who knows? Maybe she'll, you know, drop her hat in the race, saying that, "Hey, I want to be speaker." Wouldn't that be sweet revenge? I mean, she's no, you know, MAGA lunatic. She's a conservative, yeah. But do you think that's a possibility? That Liz Cheney working behind the scenes to make a comeback and elect her Speaker of the House?
Yeah, but I would not mind Liz Cheney at all. At this point, I wouldn't mind her at all, but. I don't think you will get the MAGA Republicans to vote for her because of her investigation in January the 6th and the role that she played. You know, they got revenge and she lost her seat. So, I mean,
because she voted for the impeachment twice.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean,
maybe she can get enough Republicans. Maybe she can get enough Republicans to side with Democrats and build a coalition of some sort.
Yeah. Maybe she could because, you know, she did work with Democrats, you know, for the January 6th investigation. She worked well with Democrats. So you might be onto something there, yes. That might be, I think she's super intelligent. She's well-spoken.
Mm-hmm.
She's respected.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not by the group that's there right now, but by, mm-hmm. you know, other Republicans, I believe that she is respected. Yeah. So
she's fair.
I
mm-hmm.
And she does seem fair-minded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she mm-hmm. seems fair.
Don't get me wrong. She's evil as shit. It's Dick Cheney's daughter. We have to keep that in mind. You know? I mean, yeah,
so,
she'll have integrity. She'll have experience, what have you. But remember, her father's an evil piece of shit. So, you know,
yeah.
does the fruit fall far from the tree? You know, what
yeah.
Yeah,
it can. Yes, it can. I can't condemn her for
mm-hmm,
her father.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that son of a bitch. But
mm-hmm.
when I watched her in the, you know, the 9/11 trials, she did good. She was very good.
The January 6th? Yeah.
January
6th.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
January 6th.
It's a blur
mm-hmm.
anymore.
Okay. What? Okay. So, what do y'all think about Matt Gaetz? You know, stirring the pot, and you know, kicking up a shit storm on that McCarthy out. Do you think? Because I hear he's getting the Madison Cawthorn treatment, where everybody's basically ignoring him. They even booed him down there when he gave a speech on the House floor. Do you think his days are numbered in the House of Representatives?
Yep.
I wish.
I do. I hope and pray, because he's garbage. He really is. He's a piece of garbage.
He belongs in jail, too.
Yeah, and we won't say what we think he is, but
yeah.
he's a piece of garbage. Because his feelings will get hurt again. Poor baby.
Oh, you mean raping my forehead? Yeah. Yeah. Raping my forehead, Matt Gaetz.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, let's see how Matt Gaetz's district reacted to him also speaking McCarthy. You know, 6 days ago, CNN ran this thing on Anderson Cooper, and CNN spoke with the people in his district, Congressional District 2, Florida. And, you know, don't be surprised if a lot of people turn against Matt Gaetz, because, you know, these allegations, which is not false, where he went on the House floor, showed videos of him having sex with young girls, mostly on the edge, you know, sniffing Viagra and eating Viagra and saying, bragging about how he went all night and everything. You know, where's the decorum? It's the House of Representatives. Where's your respect? You know?
Yeah.
And he was like bragging and boasting, yeah, you know, bang this chick. He's on the 18, Matt. Jesus Christ, what's wrong with you? You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
I know.
God. So this is Anderson Cooper on Anderson AC360. It's a little bit lengthy. It's a supercut. You know, so here's what Anderson Cooper had.
Mm-hmm. Now, on the man who sparked all this, or indicate went to Matt Gaetz's congressional district to see what his constituents think of it all.
What do you think about Matt Gaetz leading that move to oust Speaker Kevin McCarthy?
I think it's a great move on his part. He's a hero to me.
A hero is how Republican voter Billy Mitchell sees Matt Gaetz. Here on the northwestern edge of Florida's panhandle in Gaetz's congressional district, voters like Mitchell are in good company. Matt Gaetz believes that he did what his constituents wanted him to do. Do you support that? Is that what you wanted?
Yes, absolutely. The government shut down entirely for a while. Maybe our money won't be going to Ukraine.
Not every Republican we met backed Gaetz's decision to oust McCarthy.
We didn't think that was a good idea. Gaetz has been a great congressman here, strong conservative. We thought this was a mistake.
John Roberts is chairman of the Escambia County Republican Party.
I don't think the majority of the constituents really wanted that. It would have been better if we just simply supported him, worked together, and gotten the job done without all this waste of time.
Republican Buddy Cummings had nothing good to say about the Gaetz-led rebellion in the House.
Now we don't have a leader, and so I think it just creates so much more chaos.
Gaetz would disagree.
I don't think voting against Kevin McCarthy is chaos. I think $33 trillion in debt is chaos.
I don't know if he's about trying to create a circus or that he's trying to be the ringleader of it, but I think it's very dangerous.
And this independent voter, he's no fan of Gaetz either.
Matt Gaetz is a bully. I'm one of his constituents, and I disagree, so he won't be getting my vote.
This woman, a Democrat, believes Gates' push to remove McCarthy was personal, related to the House Ethics Committee investigation of Gates.
I think it was absolutely personal. It kind of comes across like just attention-seeking. I don't think that anything he does is really for the good of the constituents. I think it's what's good for him.
Gates, now 41, was born in Hollywood, Florida, but grew up in the Panhandle. He earned a bachelor's degree from Florida State University and later graduated William & Mary Law School. Gates worked as an attorney before becoming a Florida State Senator in 2010 alongside his wealthy father. Don Gates was a state senator from 2006 to 2016. Now 75, he's announced plans to run again. In 2016, Matt Gates was elected to the U.S. House of Representatives. Now, with some Republicans calling for Gates to be expelled from the House GOP conference, his own political future may be in jeopardy.
Do you think he should remain in Congress?
If it was up to me, absolutely not.
I think we all need to calm down, get along, work together. We can work with Matt Gates.
Brandi Kay joins us now. So given the electoral makeup of that part of Florida, is support for Gates surprising?
It's not really surprising, Anderson. No, this is a very red part of the state, the first congressional district here in the Panhandle. In fact, back in 2020, Donald Trump won this district by a very wide margin. He got more than 65% of the vote compared to Joe Biden, who got about 33% of the vote. And then just last year here, Matt Gaetz won re-election in this district by nearly 36 percentage points. So this is very friendly Republican territory. And I spoke with a lot of people today on both sides of the aisle, Anderson, who do expect that Matt Gaetz will win re-election again next year.
Brandi Kay, thanks very much. Perspective now from CNN political commentator Alyssa Park Griffin, who once worked for Congressman Jordan when he was chairman.
Okay, yeah, so there you have it. Anderson Cooper, 316. So in the Panhandle of Florida, it's predominantly Republican, Trump Republican. So I'd also Matt Gaetz losing his seat anytime soon. But an ethics committee report coming up, I think next month or sooner. And in that report, everybody's waiting to see what's in it. And based on that, he may be kicked out. Wouldn't that be a good thing?
Oh, yeah, I guess. Would be a good thing.
But like I said, Republicans have no integrity. And even though Matt Gaetz proved what a son of a bitch he is, and this disgusting pig who have sex with young girls when they're 18, and sniff Viagra, who does that, man? Seriously, who does that? And go around the house floor bragging and showing videos of him, you know, banging, you know, underage girls. Imagine if a Democrat did that. You know, World War III would happen.
Would have had to step down.
What?
You know, and he,
yeah,
and
exactly,
he
because
the own
Democrats would pressure them to step down. Exactly.
Of course.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What type of things rather than integrity?
You know, he was not charged with anything. The DOJ decided not to charge him with anything. So, but the allegations
which was a mistake.
That he had sex with a minor, that he transported the alleged victim across state lines to engage in prostitution, or that he obstructed justice in an effort to cover up his actions. So, you know, there you go. You know, where did the story come from? And what it ended good for him, but it did not end well for the other guy. Let me see if I can find his name. Oh, his name was Greenberg. Prosecutors spent investigating Gates' personal conduct and specifically allegations that he was a part of a scheme that led to the sex trafficking of a 17-year-old girl. At the core of their investigation was a testimony from a former Gates associate, Joel Greenberg, who worked as a Florida tax collector. In 2021, Greenberg pleaded guilty to 6 charges, including sex trafficking of a minor, identity theft, stalking, wire fraud, and conspiracy to bribe a public official, and agreed to cooperate with federal investigators as a part of his plea agreement. He was sentenced in December to 11 years in prison. And there you have it. think.
Yep, so he took the fire from Matt Gaetz. Mm-hmm. Yep, mm-hmm. He took the fire from Matt Gaetz, and that is money saved Matt Gaetz, basically. So Florida Panhandle, mm-hmm. You know, that's where intelligence goes to die. Anywhere in Florida, mm-hmm. except for South Florida and some parts of Miami. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you say what a disaster Ron DeSantis is. And yet they still elected him or re-elected him governor. Now he is planning to run for the U.S. Senate and primary challenge Rick Scott. And both of them mm-hmm. are just sacks of shit. Lying,
yeah.
horse shit. Both of them. They're terrible people. Yeah. Much less terrible politicians. You know? So... good luck in that fight. I hope they kill each other like we're killing now each other in Congress. You know, and mm-hmm. the Democrat, I was hoping Nikki Freed, she's a chairman for the Florida Democratic Party. She was a former attorney general, I think, of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
She'd make a great candidate. I was hoping that Democrats mm-hmm. chose her the last time around, but chose Charlie Crist to run against DeSantis, mm-hmm. knowing how unpopular Charlie Crist is. Especially in the panhandle.
Yep.
What are Democrats down in Florida thinking? I mean,
It sounds like they learned
from the previous election. Go ahead.
Yeah. I said it sounds like they just go against their own grain. I don't know what else to say. But there's one more thing we need to talk about. Sarah Sanders, she's in a little bit of trouble maybe, because Sarah
mm-hmm.
Sanders is accused altering public records about her $19,000 podium purchase. Did you guys hear about that?
Right.
David, you
Sarah
Huckabee.
Sarah
yeah.
Huckabee Sanders, yes. And she
yeah.
used that taxpayer money to fund one of her friends to go to France or somewhere in Europe.
Yeah.
And she lied about buying a podium. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you see
the
podium?
Hey, it's Arkansas, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Arkansas, man. You can't...
Yeah,
huh?
It's a mm-hmm. joke. It goes on to say that the Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders faces a new and deepening question in the so-called, they call it a podium gate controversy,
mm-hmm.
following a new report that she tried to alter records about an invoice for a $19,000 lectern she purchased with a state government credit card, according to the Associated Press. The Arkansas GOP paid for the lectern in September, but the words "to be reimbursed" were only added later to the original invoice, records released this week show. The undated reimbursement note adds to weeks of scrutiny over the purchase, which has dominated political talk in Arkansas. The Republican Party of Arkansas reimbursed the state for the purchase on September 14th, and Sandra's office has called the use of a state credit card for the lectern an accounting error. Of course it's a mistake. Sandra's office said it received the lectern in August, and I guess the lectern was a friend of hers. That owned like one of those little stores where they have, you know, vintage things,
mm-hmm.
et cetera, et cetera. Supposedly she
right.
bought it off a friend for $19,000
mm-hmm.
and, you know.
Wow.
So that's, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, they're all shysters. They're all liars
yeah.
and corrupt.
Yeah.
Should be in prison
mm-hmm.
from Trump right now. Trump,
yeah.
George Santos, you know, oh my God, they're corrupt. They're unbelievably corrupt. And every election, they're running the same thing. Guns, gods, gays. You know, what
yeah.
do you have? Why are they so obsessed with gay sex? Tell me. Somebody call me in the next 10 minutes before the show finishes. Why are Republicans and conservatives so obsessed with gay sex? You know, do they want to have gay sex? You know, do they have gay sex behind the scenes? You know?
No.
What's the deal, man? Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I have a question, guys, just to change the room. Robert RFK Jr. Has gone independent now. First he was Democrat. Now he's independent. Who do you think that could hurt Biden, or if Trump is a nominee, can it hurt him?
It'll hurt Trump more and the Republicans more, because – the kooks who support Trump and the Republican Party. Some of them have donated to RFK Jr.'s campaign, and because he's so anti-vax, a lot of them will go and support Robert Kennedy. It would hurt Trump and Republicans more than it hurt Biden and Democrats, because, you know, RFK Jr. is a prodigal son. He's lost, I guess, the drugs that he took, fried his brain. He's an ex-alcoholic. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't understand the logic RFK Jr., you know?
Yeah, I don't even know what he's for. I just do not even know what policies he's. It's a combination of his famous name and widespread voter dissatisfaction with both likely major party nominees puts him in a position to earn the largest share of the vote for an independent candidate since Ross Perot drew 19% in the 1992 election. Given the reality of Kennedy's flirtation as an independent bid, there is a lot of polling testing, a three-way race between President Joe Biden and the Orange Man. But in recent weeks, two polls have found Kennedy at 14%, which included a third option with Biden and the Orange Man.
Didn't his family come out and make a statement to the new press that they do not think he should run, that he isn't right in the mind, and they want nothing to do with his campaign, that it goes all against his father?
Several times. It was just 2 days ago when he announced that he was going to be an independent. They all came out again and said the same thing. They apologized.
Cruz,
you know?
Here to...
So, like I said, and it goes on to say that Kennedy could play a major role in the 2024 race. Really?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
Everybody knows he's a loser. I don't know who would back him outside of the anti-vaxxers. That's about it.
How about Cenk Uygur? He is the founder of the Young Turks, and he just announced his candidacy for president for the Democratic nomination. First, I think that's a grand waste of time and money and resources. Cenk has a good show with the Young Turks. It's one of my favorites. But, you know, he is one of the progressives who feel Biden is not progressive enough. He doesn't go far left enough. You get what I'm saying? And if you want to entice independent voters, you have to try to appeal to them. If you go too far left, then, you know, they'll turn around and either write a candidate in or vote Republican. You know, it's simple as that. You know, because based off the last six elections, the statistics say that when, you know, independents vote, they tend to vote more Republican than Democrat. You know,
Has he ever been in office before?
Has he ever run
for office of anything before?
No.
Yes, he ran for Congress. He ran for Congress a couple of years back, but it was like a 14-person primary. No, 14-person primary. I don't remember where he came, but, you know, he didn't finish, you know, top two.
I never heard of him. I don't think, and it's late in the game. He's not going to win crap. Nobody knows
him. He's a good
person.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah, he's a good person. And he has a great Young Turks with Anna Kasparian and other people there.
Oh,
but,
like
this is not the time or place for that.
Tell him to run for Congress instead.
Yes, we'll have a couple of minutes left. I want to play this clip making fun of MAGA Republicans. We'll call it a MAGA commercial. It's about Trump's tiny white ball, starring Ted Cruz and all their sort of characters, the clowns that, you know, support and lose Donald Trump. It's 3.5 minutes. I hope you enjoy it. Here it is.
Hello, YouTube. It's me, Ted Cruz, here to tell you about a revolutionary new health supplement that helps you lose weight and build muscle. Introducing Trump's Tiny White Balls, the powerful new dietary aid made by Republicans for Republicans.
I find Trump's tiny white balls to be absolutely delicious, and this weight loss candy is pretty good too.
Trump's tiny white balls are designed to be licked and or sucked slowly to ensure timed release delivery of the powerful protein and enzymes located at each ball's core.
This delectable confection is made from only the finest white chocolate made in America. No inferior brown or black chocolate is allowed in this time-tested all-white recipe.
Once you suck your way down to the creamy center of Trump's tiny white balls, you activate the patented Power Pack filling made from a proprietary blend of plants, twigs, roots, and lizard semen.
Donald and I may not agree on everything, but I still enjoy the taste of his balls. However, I do find them a little firm and crusty for my old 127-year-old teeth. So what I do is I roll Trump's two tiny white balls around in my hand until they get moist and pliable. Once they're soft enough, I pop the 12 of the president's balls into my mouth and enjoy that creamy blast of Trump's rich protein. Yum, yum, yummy, yum, yum.
Personally, I like to lick Trump's tiny white balls, much the same way I did as a kid with a cookie pop. It's more fun than driving drunk into a rock wall.
I've been obsessed with Trump's tiny white balls ever since my drag queen days. It's a brand new product, George. I'm fully aware of that.
The claims that this product helps you lose weight and gain muscle are just plain ridiculous. I mean, come on. I licked Trump's balls for over a year, and I'm just the same amount of doughy as I've always been.
That is absolutely true.
Just look at this picture of me at the pool, for God's sake. I've got man boobs.
You can barely get your go-go boots on.
Really, Casey? At least I don't draw my eyebrows on with a Sharpie.
Hey now, is someone being a little bitch?
For God's sake, you look like an angry bird.
Most people have a preferred method to consume this groundbreaking new health supplement. I, for example, like to put two of Trump's balls in my mouth at the same time. Then I sort of swish them around for a bit.
So essentially what you're saying is that you like to gargle Trump's balls.
Yes, I gargle Trump's tiny white balls as a way to break down the crusty outer shell. Hello, it's me, Candace Owens, here on the set of my hardly watched online show, Black People Behaving Badly. Clearly, too few African Americans enjoy sucking on Trump's tiny white balls as much as I do. But perhaps it's because they're too busy abandoning their children and faking their own kidnapping.
When I'm facing a long day on the Senate floor, I like to fill my throat pouch with Trump's balls. That way I can skip lunch and devote even more time to destroying democracy as we know it.
I may have hit my head, but I didn't hit it that hard.
In addition to Trump's tiny white balls being packed with protein, each two-ounce serving also contains more fiber than five pages of top-secret government documents.
I'm not just the owner of Trump's tiny white balls. I'm also a customer. Here I am before using this great product, and this is me after sucking my own tiny white balls. There's another before. And just take a look at this after. Once again, this is before, and now check out the after. Not bad, right? This before really shows how far I'd let myself go, and this after proves just what's possible when you suck my tiny white balls.
Side effects may include blood clotting, constipation, skin rash, racism, memory loss, diarrhea, dizziness, anal warts, drowsiness, stupidity, dry mouth, shingles, intolerance, headache, insomnia, victory, acne, nausea, hatred, delusional thinking, hallucination, hearing loss, impaired motor function, striking, vomiting, poor diarrhea, cancer, slow speech, uncontrolled flatulence, maniacal thoughts, tickets, hemorrhoids, hair loss, high fatigue, more diarrhea, and premature death.
Thanks for watching Scared Ketchup Second Mac.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Hey people, I'd like to address this whole racist email BS, and that's what it is, by the way, total BS. Did I write the racist email? Yes, I did. Did I send the racist emails? Well, duh. They're like my emails. Am I racist? Well, yeah, a little bit, but nowhere near as racist as many of the mainstream Republicans you hear from every day. For example, Marjorie Taylor Greene is way more racist than I am.
Seriously, Junior? Me? Racist?
Come on, Margie. We're both racist, but be honest. You got the edge on me on this one.
No, no, no. Let me ask you. Have you ever had sex with a black man in the under-renovation cardio room of the pump station gym next to the dollar hauler in downtown Sonoma?
That's pretty damn specific.
Oh, right, because I did that specifically.
Oh, okay, so maybe you're not as racist as me, but how about Lauren Boebert? She's like a ninja-level racist.
Hold on there, buddy boy. Don't bring me into this mess. Not today, pal.
Come on, Bobo. Take a little heat off me, will
you? Have you ever had a three-way with two Mexican rock climbers in the back of a special edition 2007 Jeep Cherokee?
Well, as a matter of fact.
Oh, what the heck? Are you on drugs?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yes, that was AI generated. And it is Scared Ketchup on YouTube. You have to check it out, people. These people are funny. Yeah, it's Scared Ketchup on YouTube for the AI parodies making fun of Lauren Boebert, MTG, Donald Trump, Jr., Donald Trump. You know, the like it fast, you know? Trump white balls. Just type that in, or Trump tiny white balls, and you see a whole list of them come up. Very entertaining, very funny. Oh, my God, I need that laugh. Anyway, we're finally time to wrap up, people. Lori, what's your final word?
My final word is that we find peace somehow in this world. because the way things are going right now, it's very frightening.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to Democrats up and down the ballot in 2024 and find mm-hmm. a way to have peace around the world. That's what we need.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Peace mm-hmm. and love.
Elaine, your final thoughts?
My final thoughts is, Republicans, would you please quit listening to lies? Us liberals, now I'm considered a liberal. Before all this mess started, I was considered a moderate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I bleed just like you do. I cry just like you do. I feel for the people in both wars just like you do. Quit your lying. There is no right.
Mm-hmm.
There is no left. War is war. It's tragic.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah. Susie, final thoughts.
Oh, God. I pray that we get out of this. I mean, like Lori
mm-hmm.
said, you got to vote Democrats to get the crazies out and pray the
mm-hmm.
war ends before too many more people are killed and maimed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so sad. The world's falling apart, and I'm scared.
Mm-hmm. So my final thought is, you know, have free speech gone or is it going? I think it's going because when the right wing speak, you know, everybody has to take it as gospel. They force their beliefs down people's throats. But when we liberals, progressive, you know, talk and we say, hey, well, we need gun control, you know, we need to amend the Second Amendment, you know, for sanity. School children are being murdered. People, innocent people are being murdered almost daily because of gun violence. You know, so we need good common sense gun control laws and get some semblance of respect back in terms of, you know, Congress. Because Republicans, they have a well-oiled machine of lies and bigotry and hatefulness against LGBTQ and against minorities and people not like them. So, yes, I do think our freedom of speech is being encroached by right-wingers. I say Moms for Liberty going against the grid and wanting parental rights and everything. Nothing wrong with that, but the books that are trying to take out of the schools, you know, they're overreacting. And most of these Moms for Liberty are not really mothers. They're being sponsored by the Betsy DeVos and family. You know, so wake up, America. Donald Trump is not the solution. Donald Trump is a symptom of the problem. The Republican Party don't care. They never have. They never will. Democrats have proven time and time again. Joe Biden has proven in almost 4 years as president that he can get things done. Republicans, since 2013, at least 2013, all they have done is said no to everything, even things they were for. But because a Democrat is in power, they said no. We need to move on from this. The Republican Party is far-right fascist. And, you know, God forbid America turn a fascist nation with authoritarian rule, then our democracy is dead and nobody will respect us. They'll lose even more respect for us. You know, so hold on to your values and fight for democracy, because 2021 was a test run. I can't allow it to happen again in 2025 when the votes will be certified. And hopefully Joe Biden and Kamala Harris win. And Democrats win both the House and the Senate and also state houses across the country. We can do it. We will do it. Because this is how
mm-hmm.
we save democracy. So that's my final word. I want to thank Elaine from Michigan for calling. And we'll thank also Susan for calling in. And thank everybody for sharing across all social media. KitchenPolitics123.com is the website. More articles coming. The merchandise will be on sale in 2 to 3 weeks' time, hopefully sooner. So until next
mm-hmm.
time, same place, same time, Sunday coming up, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Pacific, Mountain Time. We'll have another episode. This has been Season 5, Episode 42. Or where have our freedom of speech gone? I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
David, this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. Everyone have a good night and peace to everyone. Bye now.
Economic plan is about investing in places and people that have been forgotten. It's about making things here in America again. It's about good jobs. It's about the dignity of work. And it's about the damn time we're doing it.
Joe Biden is determined to reward hard work. That's why he passed historic laws that rebuild our roads and bridges, invest in our factories, and bring back American manufacturing. Over 12 million jobs have been created. And Joe Biden's building an economy that leaves no city, no town, no American behind.
We're investing in places and people that have been forgotten. They've been invisible, but we haven't forgotten. We're building an economy from the bottom up and the middle out, where no one's going to be left behind.
Joe Biden, a president for all Americans.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
As the sun rises, we raise the flag, a symbol of all that we hold most dear as Americans. Courage, opportunity, democracy, freedom. They're the values and beliefs that built this country and still beat in our hearts. But they're under attack by an extreme movement that seeks to overturn elections, ban books, and eliminate a woman's right to choose. Joe Biden has made defending our basic freedoms the cause of his presidency. The freedom for women to make their own health care decisions. The freedom for our children to be safe from gun violence. The freedom to vote and have your vote counted. For seniors to live with dignity. And to give every American the freedom that comes with a fair shot at building a good life. In small towns and big cities, we raise our heads, our eyes. Dream. Joe Biden is running for re-election to make certain that the sun will not set on this flag. The promise of American democracy will not break.
Democracy must not be a partisan issue. It's an American issue. As your president, I will defend our democracy with every fiber of my being, and I'm asking every American to join me.
For freedom, for democracy, for America, Joe Biden.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
When he came to office, the pandemic was raging, the economy was reeling, and American democracy was under attack. Then Joe Biden went to work. He brought stability to the country, got the economy moving again, defended our democracy. 2 years later, America's come a long way. The pandemic no longer controls our lives, and over 12 million jobs have been created. That's more jobs in 2 years than any president's created in four. Historic laws have been passed to rebuild the nation's roads and bridges, to invest in the computer chips that will power the future, to tackle the climate crisis, and to lower the cost of prescription drugs. We did it all while lowering the deficit by $1.7 trillion and without raising taxes under $1,400,000 a year. Now he's running for re-election to
finish the job to provide affordable child care and elder care for America's hardworking families, protect Social Security and Medicare, to pass up minimum tax for goods to make well-being once again the long life, to be an assault weapon, and to protect the right to vote. Joe Biden's never been more optimistic about America's future. We have to be the nation we've always been at our best, hopeful, forward-looking. We're the United States of America, and there's nothing beyond our capacity if we do it together. Thank you.